Praise Jesus. Get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, go to the book of Acts, chapter 10. On this two heartbeats bill, on this thing, listen, every one of you need to go in this legislative session to Austin to go to the state capitol, let your representatives see you, just let you know that they know that we know where they are. You know, it's kind of funny to me that everything going on in Egypt right now and the riots and everything's going on over there, you know, we need to really pray for that country and what's going to happen. But, you know, people that don't have any guns are rioting in the streets and changing and demanding that a president is changed, right? I mean, it seems like Washington might get wind of this, that these things do happen and things can change because people stand up and say, we're not going to take it anymore and you're going to have to stop. I mean, I don't understand why they can't get that message to themselves. Now, y'all have got me all messed up. Y'all are sitting over here on this side of the church today instead of sitting over on that side of the church, and you got me all messed up looking over there. Thought I had a whole row of guests, and it just was from that side to this side. Oh, well. Praise God. So anyway, you need to go to Austin to let them know. Acts chapter 10, y'all there? I want to start reading verse 9. Well, let me read verse 1 so that we get at the text of the story here. There's a certain man of Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion that was called the Italian regiment. A devout man, one who feared God with all of his household, who gave alms generously to the poor and prayed to God always. And about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in him, saying to him, Cornelius. Now when he had observed him, he was afraid, and he said, what is it, Lord? So they said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up before a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is longing with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. And he will tell you what you must do. And when the angel that spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants, a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So they went and explained all these things to him, and he sent them unto Joppa. Now the next day, as they went on to the journey, they drew near the city. Peter went up the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and wanted to eat. Has that ever happened to you? You went to pray and you became hungry and wanted to eat? But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending on him, and he let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. And the voice came to him, says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And he spoke again to him, saying a second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. For this was done three times, and the object was taken up to heaven. Okay, now we got this story here. Wow. This is going to be really good. I just saw it. You got this story here of Cornelius. He was a devout man. He was doing natural things on earth. Okay, that was being seen in heaven. Am I right? Is that what it says, the Bible, true or not? Because the angel came down and said to him, I've seen your alms and your, in other words, I've seen your giving and your prayers have been heard in heaven. Your prayers have heard in heaven, and you got heard in heaven? I don't want to, you know, paint with too wide of a brush this morning, but if you were heard in heaven, do you reckon you could be heard in hell? I mean, I'm just throwing this out. Do you reckon the devil's ever stood on your side saying, yeah, come on, you're doing good? Yeah, I hope not, but I can tell you that hell does know what's going on. Because I just read over in the Sunday school class this morning in Acts 20, where or 19, where the sons of Sceva are trying to cast out a devil, and they said, Paul I know, or Jesus I know, and Paul I know. And they said, but who are you? So those guys got in touch with hell. So let's just look at the good side. Heaven heard your prayers. Wow, I just can't get off that though. I don't want to please hell. But I'm telling you that hell can know you, either fear you because they know, because it says Jesus. Oh, let's just read it. Let's go there. Let's just look, read it. I can't get off this. Acts 19. Because y'all are looking at me. Somebody doesn't believe me in here. Felt it. Acts 19, verse 11. It says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul, so that even the handkerchiefs and aprons that he brought from his body to the sick and the diseases left and evil spirits went out of them. Now some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by Jesus in whom Paul preaches. That's pretty weak. Right? Now there were seven sons of Sceva, the Jewish chief priest, who did so, and the evil spirit answered. So the devil's talking. The devil said, the evil spirit answers that Jesus I know and Paul I know. So you can be known in hell. You don't think Jesus is known in hell? Jesus is known in hell when he kicked open the gates of hell and said, I'm taking the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Right? Come on. And it says that Paul they knew too, because the devil's having to plot every morning to try to keep the Apostle Paul or kill the Apostle Paul from going out and doing his work. So hell knew what was going on. So heaven knows what's going on and hell knows what's going on. Y'all with me? Your prayers are being heard in heaven. Your work that you're doing on this earth, because I'm using that as the gifts he was given, the money he was given, the alms he was given, was being seen. So what was being his works, his actions, were being seen by heaven, and his prayers are being heard in heaven. So that means the devil knows too what's going on. So wait a minute. When you get up in the morning and you're going out to work, it's not just you on earth. It's heaven and hell watching what's going on too. There's more to the big picture. Right? There's more than just meets the eye. Are y'all with me? Everybody says, you know, I've heard this story, this saying before. Somebody say, well, you know, you got to watch it. You'll get to be so heavenly minded, you're of no earthly good. But wait a minute. If you don't understand that when you're living your life and you're going out there every morning, that there is something going on in heaven and there is something going on in hell that is about you. Then wait a minute. You're not playing with all your cards. Hello? I mean, y'all don't get so serious on me that it scares you something running out the back door. Some of y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. I'm just preaching the word to you. So I'm trying to get you to understand that the supernatural is more real than we give it credit for. And the reason why we don't give it credit, because we don't see it with our natural eye. You can't touch it with your hands. But I can't do that with air either, yet I wake up in the morning and I'm not afraid to breathe. I heard the stupidest report I've ever heard in my life this week. That there was a deal put out about global warming and carbon emissions and all this kind of stuff. And they said that the person who's affected the carbon footprint on planet Earth the most of any ruler ever was Kublai Khan. And I was like, what? And the reason, their reasoning behind it was because he killed 40 million people. And then the land that the 40 million people were farming went back to natural. And that he affected more the carbon footprint than any other person before. And they were like saying this was a good thing. Like, oh, see how there is a leader that could affect the carbon footprint. He killed 40 million people. Did they miss that point? That 40 million people were killed and slaughtered? The point I'm trying to say is you can get your mind so off and looking in the wrong thing that you're looking over here thinking that that actually was good. Oh, he helped the planet. He killed 40 million people. No matter how you cut it, that ain't good. With me? You can get yourself so focused over here at this thing that you're missing the big picture. You can get yourself so focused on work and the things that are going on in work and your life and the problems and this and that and the other and the quarrels and this and that and off of it, blah, 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 that you forget that heaven is open to your prayers and that hell knows what you're doing. You know, like, I want to someday, David, maybe you can help me on this. I want to make a movie. I want to make a horror movie. But I want it to be the other way. I want the devil to jump out and we jump up and say, what are you doing? And he says, oh, no, he's a Christian. He's after me. And we chase the devil off. You know? I mean, I want him to just, the snarliest, nastiest, meanest demon to come running and say, Jesus, it is, and he runs off in terror. Right? I'm so tired of Hollywood making it like all these, you know, oh my gosh, the devil's going to win. It's just a close battle. You don't know if God or the devil's going to win. It's like down, it's overtime. And we don't know. It's overtime, and who's going to win? Maybe the devil might. There is no battle, folks, between God and the devil. The Bible says that God threw out the devil from heaven like a lightning bolt. That ain't much of a fight. He says that when Jesus, the Bible says that when Jesus comes back, his presence, just walking in the room consumes the Antichrist. That ain't much of a fight. That you just have to walk in the room and it's just sweep that boy up in a dustpan and take him out. Y'all hearing me? Yet, you know, Hollywood and even Christians make it out to where the devil just don't know who's going to win. And I want to tell you something. Because we think God might say no. Like he's not going to help. Like, well, you know, you brought this on yourself, so you're just going to have to eat it. That's the attitude Christians have about God. They have an attitude of God. They say, well, we don't understand because, you know, sometimes I prayed once and something didn't happen. Listen to me. If I prayed once and something didn't happen, I'm going to keep praying. And I'm going to try to learn and grow to try to figure out why my prayer didn't get answered the way I thought it was, because prayer should be answered in the form of yes. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, it's yes and amen to all those who believe. It doesn't say yes and maybe. Yes and sometimes. It says yes and amen. The promises of God. Holy cow, read it, folks. Come on. I'm just too stirred up this morning. Y'all going to have to get me to quit teaching Sunday school because I just get too stirred up, make church too long. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or chapter 1, verse 24, all the promises. How many are the promises? How many? How many? That don't mean he cut out some. Right? He said all the promises of God in him are what? What does it say? Everybody say yes. All the promises. All the promises. All the promises are yes. And in him, amen. In other words, yes, and it's done. So folks, if there's a problem, it's got to be on our end. I'm sorry. I'm the preacher. I got to tell you. If there's a problem, the fault is not lying in God's ability. It's lying in our believing. How come angels are appearing to Cornelius? How come the Apostle Paul's throwing handkerchiefs on people and they're getting healed? How come the Apostle Peter walked and his shadow passed by people and people were healed? But did you know those people came from all over the place? They came from everywhere seeking Jesus, and they believed that if the shadow of Peter just passed by them, they'd be healed. Oh, wait a minute. You got people now believing and got faith. You got people stirred up and coming. You got them stirring up their faith to travel everywhere. We got people that aren't in church this morning because it was too far to travel. When you're talking about getting in an air conditioned car with a radio and driving. And in those days, they came and walked and rode a donkey and fought through everything and took a little knapsack with them to some food to eat. Years ago, back in 93, when I was in the Ukraine, we were on a train, and we'd been on this train for 14 hours. Well, I wasn't thinking. It didn't have a dining car, and it didn't stop anywhere to get anything to eat. And, you know, this cowboy likes to eat. And so, man, I was hungry. And I thought, isn't this crazy? You know, I didn't think about bringing a lunch. Because in America, anywhere you go, you don't have to travel far. You can pull over somewhere and stop. You may not find the restaurant you wanted, but there's a place you can stop and get something to eat. Right? And I remember that our Ukrainian translator that was with us, he looked up at us and he says, well, there's many people, because there was four of us. And he says, but I have a little food. And he pulled out his lunch sack and he had a little piece of cheese and a little deal of bread. And he says, oh, yes, we always travel with fruit because there's no place to get anything to eat. And I thought, wow, what a concept. Can you imagine going to San Antonio and you're gonna have to drive to San Antonio that day or go down there, but you have to prepare your meal so that you know where you're going to go and take some water with you and whatever. So we don't even think about it. We just drive and go do it. It's so convenient. Everything's convenient. But these people are so hungry. They'd have to come and they had to go down just to get to the, just to hope that Peter walked out of the church. Just to hope that Peter came walking on the side of the road so that and got a position of the sun right. Well, what happens if it's going down? I mean, they're jockeying for position to get the sun to hit Peter to fall on them to get healed.
Well, brother, I just don't know if we believe all that.
That's why nothing happens in your life. Because we get so theological in our minds and we get so full of religion that we just get to the place in life where we're not believing God for anything. We're just walking through life hoping that we get from, you know, we were believing that we're going to get to heaven if we die, but we're not believing for anything but in between. We're not believing for miracles and signs and wonders. You know, listen, I want to say this,
I guess I could get in trouble on this. I better stop before I utter this out of my lips.
No, it's not that bad. I just try to make sure I'm going to say it right. Okay, if gambling is wrong, if you gamble to the point that you're losing money, your family's in jeopardy, you're going to hurt. But I'm really tired of seeing heathens win the lotto. I mean, that's pretty crazy. I'm not advocating everybody go out and start buying lotto tickets because your chances of winning are not very good. You're better to sow your money in the kingdom of God and believe God for a return. But I'm tired of heathens winning the lotto. I'm tired of some guy that beat up his wife and ran off and didn't even, you know, was an ungodly man and won $190 million. This is not right. We don't need to play the lotto to win. We need to believe God for business finances to come into and things to happen and things to miracles to take place and things to go in there. Folks, listen to me. This week, we got a new child at the orphanage. She's 2 years old and her name is Blanca. No, Blondie. I'm wrong. Her name is Blondie. How they name these kids in Guatemala? I don't know. We've got a Nelson that's the other extreme. Gerson and a Nelson and a Wendy and now we got a Blondie. You know, I'm just saying they take the real American names and name these kids. Anyway, so this little girl named Blondie, she's 2 years old. She just came to her father's dead and her mother's a drug addict. Okay? And they gave her to us. She's with us forever. She's permanent. Praise God. And yeah. But I want to tell you something. The beauty of it is that the mother was selling the little 2-year-old on the street for men to molest. That's how she got her money for drugs. And I was here to tell you today, with all the glory that I can say and give God the glory, is she never will be again. She's at Casa Angelina. From now on, she'll live out her life right there. She'll end up in college and university, and she'll be bilingual, and she will be full of the Holy Ghost, and she will go out into the world and change and wreck this world for Jesus. And y'all are a part of that. But we need money, okay? It just doesn't happen. We need money, all right? I need money for miracles. I believe God for miracles. I believe God for the wildest, craziest, most unbelievable things because I know that it's a supernatural God. You know how I started out believing? Listen to me. When I was working as a carpenter and I was going to my job, and I challenge you to do this, I believed God for change I'd find on the ground. And every time I'd find a penny, I'd find a nickel, I'd find a quarter, I would believe it for seed money. And I'd take that money and I'd set it all aside. And that was the money I started out giving to my first alms I was giving in life. It was the money that I picked up on the road that everybody else found out. And to this day, I'm still believing God for crumbs that fall from the rich people's table to come into my hands. There's millions and millions of dollars every year that get just thrown away that just have nothing. And that I want those crumbs to come into my hands so that we can win more blondies in life. All right? But I'm telling you, heaven hears your prayers. Hell sees what's going on. Heaven sees what's going on. There's a supernatural thing going on in every day of your life, every moment, every second of your life. And it's up to us to be believing God. It's up to us to be like Peter. Peter was just there. Let's go back to Acts 10 there. Peter was just going up to take a nap. He's going to go up and pray, but he was hungry and he fell into a trance. He said, look, this is so funny. Is this a typical man thing? Lunch and ready. Right? Lunch and ready. So I'm going to go up on the, I'll just go up on the roof and pray. So I don't even know what his attitude was, but I know he was hungry for lunch. Right? Said it. He goes up there, falls into a trance, and Jesus starts speaking to him. What's he speaking to him about? About food. At first you would say, Peter, you're having a pizza dream here, man. That's all it is, dude. You're hungry. You're having a pizza dream. Right? But he's Jewish, and Jewish had to eat kosher, and they couldn't eat all this stuff, and he's refrained from it all his life, and all this stuff's fallen down in a picnic. Right? Hey, Jesus is putting a picnic before him. He's got the sheet out and he's putting all the, setting the table. And he said, eat it, kill it and eat it. He said, I ain't going to kill it and eat it, man. That's not right. And so the Lord speaks to him again, says, kill it and eat it. He's trying to make a point to him. He's trying to get Peter's heart prepared because he knows that Cornelius' guys are about to show up at his house. How supernatural can this be? That Peter is just hungry. He's just hungry. He just wants lunch. Do you see how natural this is? This is the point I want you to see here. You see how natural it is? Peter's just hungry. He's just going to go pray. Has an open vision. Falls into a trance. The Lord speaks to him and says, look, no. The point he's trying to make is that Jews don't have to stay away from Gentiles. I'm going to ask you to go to the Gentile's house in a minute because Jewish people could not enter into a Gentile's house or they would have become unclean and they couldn't do that. And he's trying to break that thinking in Peter and he says, look, here it is. Here's the deal. It's so common. Is that not so common? So natural. He just took the natural things going on in his life and turned them up and made them supernatural. He just took the natural and supersized it. Right? Look what he said. Verse 15. And the voice spoke again to him and said, what God has cleansed. Everybody say what God cleansed. You must not call common. What God's cleansed. Say it again, what God cleansed. Seems to me that I remember Jesus going to the cross and dying so that you could be cleansed of your sins. Oh, so wait a minute. Wouldn't that apply to you? If what God has cleansed, washed your sins away, you're not common. You're holy. Look at the person beside you and say, you're not common. Wait a minute. Matter of fact, you're so uncommon, the Bible says you're a new creature. You're somebody that has never been on the face of this earth before. You are now a person, a human, who's housing the Spirit of God in you. You're a new creation. You're a new creature that they're calling a new creation, called a born-again believer, that the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. That was never before Jesus. Are you following me here? Before Jesus, you couldn't be forgiven of your sins, and the Spirit of God could not live and dwell on the inside of you. Last night, I was back and forth studying and reading and flipping the television and trying to figure out what God wanted this morning, and Iron Man was on. I ain't a big Iron Man fan, but I got so excited when the bad guy, I don't even know the names of the people, but when the bad guy was going to take the little deal out of his chest, see how good I am on what this thing is? And he had some little device, and there's a, if you've never seen Iron Man, you have no idea what I'm talking about. If you do, it's a good example. He has some sort of a thing because his body wouldn't function right. I don't know why he got that thing. Why did he get the thing in his chest? Heart wasn't working. Okay, so heart wasn't working. So they implanted this. He developed this little thing that he put in his chest. It's stirring, it's giving him the power for his body to keep living. How about that? And it's in there, a little round circle right in the middle of his chest. And the bad guy comes in there because he wants to steal it, because that's the power that makes the suit fly and do everything. And he's reaching in that guy, and he's reaching into his chest. And about the time he's reaching in there with this little device to pull that thing out, I thought, wow, that is the Spirit of God in man that gives us the power to keep living for you. Because prior to Jesus dying on the cross, the Spirit of God wasn't in you. Couldn't live in man. You became a new creature, Paul says. A new creation. Old things passed away and old, everything became new. All of a sudden there's a power, there's a dynamo, there's a generator living on the inside of you called the Holy Ghost. That gives you the power to walk in the supernatural. Huh? Gives you the power to live, gives you the power for your heart to beat, your heart to function, and your body to function. Without it, well, you're just kind of hoping and praying. With it, you're Iron Man. She just loved pastor's examples. It was good to me. I had a revelation in the middle of it. I went off, man, jumping, all excited, praying, shouting, glory, hallelujah. When I saw that, spoke to me. He said, man, I got it in me.
Get it out of me.
Folks, the supernatural's real. Your prayers are being heard in heaven. Oh, I don't know why things don't always work out like we're praying, but don't quit praying. Out. Say, Lord, how am I looking at this problem wrong? When I first started working as a carpenter, I had a major problem with it. I had always been the wealthy guy. And now I was broke. And now I was working $5 an hour as a carpenter. And so it just was hard for me to grasp that I was having to do the manual labor when I'd always had everybody else do the manual labor. Hello? And so I was working there and for the carpenter, the head carpenter, and there was this, we were doing a remodel job, and there was a set of steps that went into this addition of the house, and we were building onto it, and those steps had to be taken out. And so the guy handed me a 16-pound sledgehammer and told me to get after it. And so, you know, come to think of it, I'd never really busted out a set of steps before, you know? And so I got on there and, you know, looked pretty obvious to me. The first thing to do is knock off all the corners, you know. That was going to be the easy legs. So I knocked off all the corners of this thing, and then I commenced beating on it. And then when he came back about 3 hours later, I had these, because there were two steps, these two perfect round balls that I had beat all the corners off of, and now I had a mess because everything was round. I couldn't get a solid lick on any of it. And it was the old concrete, been poured, you know, way back, and it was really green and hard. And I had just beat these things into just two round balls. Worked myself to just, you know, didn't have an ounce of energy left to hit that thing, swinging that big old hammer. And he looked at me and says, well, wow, you've got a mess there. And I said, I think they make other implements for this thing, you know, like jackhammers and stuff that might be a little easier to take this thing out than me hitting on it. See, folks, sometimes we don't understand things in life. We don't know what's going on, and we keep pounding at it and pounding at it with our prayers, and maybe you've just rounded all the corners off of everything, and it's still, the problem's still there, and you just took all the easy licks off of it, but the ball is still there. The root of it's still there. The big mess is still there. You're going to have to get the jackhammer of the Holy Ghost to come in there and really pound that thing out, and maybe the reason why you're not seeing your prayers working is because you just rounded the edges off on the problem. You've not really got to the root of the solution. You don't really know what you need to do. You just got you a big old round ball of concrete there, and you keep wondering why this thing keeps hindering you. And it may have gotten eased up some, but you're going to have to get the jackhammer of the Holy Ghost to come in there. And I'll never forget this carpenter. You know, he was older than I was, and he was in charge, and he said, let me go out there. And he went out to his truck and he came back with a little old chisel. It wasn't but about that long. And he handed it to me and he said, well, here, hold that and I'm going to hit it. And I said, whoa, you ain't paying me near enough to hold that chisel. You go get me something bigger, you know, maybe, but I ain't going to hold that thing while you sling that sledgehammer at it. Ain't no way. You got to have the right tools. You got to pray God for the wisdom of the Holy Ghost in your life to say, Lord, what do I need to do? Listen, there is a supernatural answer for the event you're going through. There is an answer. You got to get it, though. And then you got to apply it. The world of the supernatural is there. The miracle is there for you. The answer is there for you. It's yes and amen to you. But folks, you got to do it. You have to do it. You can't let me throw some holy water on you. Or, you know, there's nothing I would love better than just to poke a hole in that ball up. Water, whole water. And sling it all over y'all and everything just works great. You know? How easy. Just say, okay, everybody stand up. You got a problem. Here you go. Throw water in your face. Wow, that would even be fun. You know, you come up and you tell me what it is, and I say, oh, it's a pretty tough problem. Pull out a 3-gallon sprayer, you know. There you go. Oh, how great that would be. I wish it would work. But I can lay hands on you to rub all the hair off your head, and if you're not in agreement with what the Spirit of God's doing, what it ain't going to make a bit of difference. You're just going to be less hair or more oily or have water thrown on you. Wetter, oilier, or less hair. But you're not going to get your problem answered. It comes from within you. And that dynamo working. He says, let me go to this last scripture. It may be the last one. It may not be. I don't want to lie. Okay. Ephesians. Go to Ephesians right quick. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to start reading verse 14. For this reason. I'm in Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. What's getting strengthened? Yeah, you, your spirit, by the power of the Holy Ghost, your spirit's getting strengthened in your inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, listen, now to him who is able, everybody say he's able. And to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you ask or think. He's able to do more than you're asking him for. Right? Is the Apostle Paul wrong or is he right when he wrote that down? Is it Bible? That means that he says that heaven wants to do more for you than you're asking him for. Exceedingly abundantly. How much do you think exceeding would be? I mean, exceeding makes it sound like you can't carry it out, right? It's so much you can't get your hands on. It's too much. It's exceeding. It's more than you can make it in one trip, right? You know, people don't understand country people. You know, they grocery stores, you know, they're talking about they're not going to, they're, you know, now they're against plastic sacks. You used to be against paper sacks. Paper sacks were the evils of the world. And now they're against plastic sacks. And so then the other day I heard about the department stores are talking, I mean, grocery stores are talking about that they're not going to furnish sacks. Well, how am I supposed to carry my groceries to the door of my house? Do they not understand we live out in the country and you buy a lot of groceries at one time? And how am I supposed to get my groceries to the house? Because it's always a challenge when my wife comes home to see how many sacks of groceries I can get in my hands. That's my challenge of just say, how many can I carry in one load and they not all rip and fall and break apart? Is anybody else with me on that? Okay. All right. I just want to make sure that y'all are with me. But exceeding means I can't get it there in one trip. He wants to do exceedingly and abundantly. That is a lot, folks. Exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. Ask or think?
Well, Lord, I just believe you for 1,000. It'd be nice to write a check for 100,000, but I just believe you for 1,000. Well, then the 100,000 you thought of, he wanted to do better than that.
I have pastors call me all the time because Brother Ivan, when he goes out and he preaches and he talks about Living Waters Church, and they call me up and want to know, how does our church do what we do financially around the world? How do we give like we do? And I said, well, it's just real simple. I always tell them the same thing. It's real simple. I just make sure that we follow the principles of God, and I give until it hurts. But it doesn't make any difference because it doesn't really hurt in the sense that I know that we're sowing seed, and seed's going to produce, and seed time and harvest, and it's coming back. And so I know that as fast as, it's like a boomerang, as fast as I can throw it away, I know it's coming back. And then they don't ever want to talk to me again. They don't like it. They don't want to hear that. They want to know that I've got stirred up and I've got y'all all charged and energized doing some way that I'm getting and exacting money from y'all in order to do what we're doing. I got some plan, some, you know, whatever. And I said, no. You just got to give it away. You got to just give it, brother. Just do something wild and crazy. Just, you know, I mean, just go, just do something. Just believe God and ask him what you're going to do. And then just go do it. Just do it, man. Stretch yourself. Just give more than you've ever given. Just start. Take off. Build a house. Somebody can tell the church you're going to build a house. Well, that's like $50,000. You know, we can't, our church can't do that. Our finances aren't anywhere. I said, see, there you go. You never do it. And then they don't want to talk to me anymore. So I have very few pastor friends. And it's not like I'm trying to laud it over them. I just found the secret. Just throw it away and it'll come back. It's a boomerang. You give, it's going to come back. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give in your bosoms. God has to bring somebody to the doors of the church to give more to give, because I gave it out here, and it's coming in here, it's coming in here, it's coming in here, it's coming in here. It's going out, it's coming in, going out, going in. It's a flow. But see, it's supernatural. Because people don't want to do the supernatural. They want to do, oh, well, I got this ladies in the church that bake cookies, and we sell these cookies, and they're the greatest cookies in the world. And you know, we charge $24 a dozen, and we sell those cookies, and we just make money like that, and that's how we make our money. Oh, okay. Well, can you send me the recipe? See, that's what they want to hear, right? Because it's natural. It's something you can do. It's something you can see. It's something you can take and put in the oven, and you smell it, and you say, oh, yeah, we're going to sell this, and somebody's going to like it, and then we're going to go over there, and we talk to more stores, and we do this, and we do that, and we do this, right? Waterhole water. I started Waterhole water. When I got up the great idea, I said, hey, we're going to sell water hole water. We'll buy it for 50 cents, sell it for a dollar, take that money. We're going to sell all this water. We're going to go everywhere. The water. Water's going to be everywhere. It's called Water King, man. We'll sell water everywhere for all the stores. And that's how we'll make money to give the orphans. I bet I'd have to go look at the finances, but what we've made off of the water to give to the orphans is microscopic compared to the millions of dollars that have just come in through miracle, wild, crazy, outlandish things that you could never, ever believe. Hello. When checks show up in the mail and there's $15,000 worth of money orders in there that nobody signed and nothing in there, you don't even have any idea where it came from. There's just money sitting there because we just sowed money and then money just came in. You see what I'm saying? Folks, you got to live supernaturally. You cannot live naturally. You cannot live based within your own abilities and strengths, because then that's all you'll have and you'll always be limited. But when you want to live in the supernatural, you have to realize that your prayers are being heard in heaven, that heaven's answers to your prayers are yes and amen, that he wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can think or ask, according, last thing, to the power that works, where? That works in us. According to what's in you. So you're setting the bar. Hello? Was anybody in here ever a high jumper like y'all were, really did good in high jumping? Seems like I don't have any. Where? Ha ha. How's the highest you ever jumped? That's pretty good. Not that I ever desired to be a high jumper. I didn't quite have the physique. I looked like this when I was in the sixth grade, you know. So I've had the same body shape my whole life. It's just kind of followed me through. But I was always lured to think that I could spring like Superman over that bar. And so always every year, you know, the coach would go out and track, and he'd go out there and, you know, he'd say, because we had to run track when we played football no matter what, and he'd always try it out. And I just kept thinking, man, if you could just high jump, you don't have to run. None of this other stuff, if I could just high jump, you know, I'd just go over there and leap over this thing, then, you know, I wouldn't have to do all this other horrible running. And so that was my sole purpose, but I would look at it and think, I can do it. I know I can do it. I can feel it. And I couldn't. I mean, if I got like 3, 4, I was doing good, you know? And I am just so glad to know that when I look at the bar today, that if I set the bar at 7 foot, that's pretty good. Right? That's pretty good, 7 foot. Whew. Does anybody know what would be a high school? What would be like a high school would win a high school track meet? Does anybody know? In that neighborhood of the 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", that would win high school? 5A school? 40 years ago, no. I'm talking today where people leap with Nikes on. Does anybody know? 7 feet. That's what I was thinking. Somewhere like around 7 feet is what I was thinking. That's pushing it. I mean, you're like, whoa, 7 foot. But if I set the bar at 7 foot, even though that's a great mark, right? To do 7 foot, because we're just saying we're declaring 7 foot's going to win it. And so 7 foot's good. But no matter what I thought, God wanted me to do exceedingly abundantly beyond more than I could even think or ask than 7 foot. Y'all with me? If I set the bar at 4 foot and say 4 foot's all I'm ever going to do, I can't do more than 4 foot, then that's all you're ever going to do is 4 foot. But if you say, Lord, I on my own strength and ability, I can't even do 7, but with your power and your strength, I can do all things. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, you can do nothing without Christ. But Philippians 4:13 says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. If you look at the thing and say, Lord, in my ability, man, I can't do 7 foot. But with your ability, I think I can do 7. Well, he wants to do more than that. Are y'all with me? You're setting the bar. And the supernatural, heaven is hearing what you're setting. Heaven is hearing the height you're setting. And so is hell. Hell wants it short. Hell doesn't want you to do much. Hell wants you to give up. Hell wants you to quit. Hell doesn't even want you to get in the race. Hell wants you to sit on the sidelines and watch everybody go to hell. Hello? See, hell doesn't want us to rescue Blondie. Hell doesn't want us to preach the gospel. Hell doesn't want us to go out over the radio. Hell doesn't want me to preach to you this morning. Hell doesn't want you to get encouraged. Hell doesn't want you to go tell everybody about what you learned this week when you go to your office and your workplace and tell everybody. Hell doesn't want you to do that. Hell wants you to stay at home. Hell wants you to be quiet. Hell wants you to shut up and not tell anybody about Jesus. Hell wants you to be ugly. Hell wants you to be mad. Hell wants you to be miserable. Hell wants you to be offended. Hell wants you to be discouraged. Hell wants you to be depressed. That's what hell wants. Hey. Hell wants you to be hung up. Hell wants you to be upside down. Hell wants you to miss it. Heaven wants you to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all you could even think or ask. Heaven wants all of the promises for you to know that they're yes and amen, that God is your greatest cheerleader. Heaven wants you to know that there's more than just dying and getting across into heaven. Heaven wants you to know that all of heaven is yours now. That's what heaven wants you to know. Heaven wants you to know that the supernatural is possible in the natural. Heaven wants you to know that God is a God of miracles. Can I just tell you one quick one real quick? Another one more quick one about miracles? Miracles happen all the time, and miracles don't always have to be some bright, shining something that does, you know, miracles. I'm just my project I'm on right now. We set a pad for a generator, okay? Built this thing, put a wall around it, rocked it. It's beautiful, but I was just waiting for the generator to come. The owner decided he wanted a different generator. He bought a generator that was like 9 times bigger than the one I'd built. And so this thing was delivered. I looked at it. I said, holy moly. This thing's huge. And so I said, wow, that thing is no way it's going to fit on the slab. No way will it fit. So I went over there and measured. Sure enough, it don't fit. I said, boy, that is something. That thing don't fit. So I stand there at the electrician. I said, what are we going to do? And he said, well, I don't really know. And I said, well, all I know to do is I have to get the guys over here to bust all of this out. Or just have to add on to it. Just, you know, it's just going to be horrible or whatever. We're sitting there talking to him. He said, did you measure it the other way? And I said, I didn't measure it the other way. We measured the other way. Had 6 inches to spare. I said, but what about your pipes? Your pipes are for it to go this way. He measured it all off. He says, my Lord. He ran over to the machine. He measured it again. He says, they fit. They fall right in the place they need to be. I said, you're kidding me. Holy cow. When he gave me the dimensions of the slab to build, I thought he was small. So I added 2 foot both ways to the slab. Just because it was, I just thinking, give us 2 more feet of room. That was my thinking. Peter just going up there to eat. He was just hungry. I told the guys, go 2 more feet. If I would have gone that 2 more feet, we'd have been tearing that thing down. I went the 2 more feet. No big booming light, no voice, Robert, go 2 more feet. No, there's nothing. No quickening of the Holy Ghost. Whoa, I need to go 2 more feet. No, I just said, Dad, let's go 2 more feet. And that puppy fit, I had 6 inches to spare. Sat right down in there. I just said, man, thank you, Jesus. I stood right there and said, thank you, God. You are a God of miracles. I just laughed. Everybody's just looking at me like, okay. But when something's wrong, they want me to pray. But I wake up every day and I said, God, I don't know. I don't know what to do today. I have no way I want to make it work. I don't know what to do. And so, you know, you're going to have to make it happen, Lord. I don't know what to do. And so that's why things like that happen, because I throw it all and submit it all to him and believe God for miracles. And so now it's gotten to be on the job that every time there's something wrong, I just tell everybody, let's just pray. Let's just don't worry. It'll all work out. Don't worry about it. Just quit looking at it. Because it's going to fit somewhere. Something's going to change. Something's going to move. Something's going to shift. And then it's going to be in the right place. So just leave it alone right now. Let's just go work over here. And everybody's like, you crazy? That didn't work like that. We got to tear that out. I said, just leave it alone. Please, just leave it alone. Let's go find something else to do. And we'll come back over there later, and it'll fit. Folks, you got to have miracles in your life. Look at the person beside you and say, hey, you got to believe God for miracles. Well, stand to your feet, if you would. Can I have my pastoral team, prayer team come down? I believe in miracles. I believe in God to bless you and miracles to happen. I believe in prayer and agreement. The Bible says if 2 of us would agree is touching anything, he'd do it. We may not always know the things. You may have beat your piece of concrete down to it's just a big old ball of problem in your life. But folks, I'm telling you, there's a chisel. And God will speak it to you. And he'll show you what to do. There is a jackhammer in the Holy Ghost to show you what you need to do. But you just got to ask him and you got to find it. So I want you just to, we're here for you and we'll pray with you. And so we dismiss this service, but I want to pray for you right now. And then if you want more prayer, we're here for you and we'll agree with you. But I want to just, I don't know where you are in life, but I know he does. And so right now, let's just go to him. Father, we just come to you right now in Jesus' name. And over this congregation, Lord, I don't know what all's going on. I don't know what is happening in everybody's life, but you do. You know everything. And I just believe you right now for miracles in their lives. I believe you that as their hearts turn to you right now, that miracles take place in their lives.